Okay, today's daf is Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph. Today we have two sponsors to the shir. The shir is sponsored by Chaim Langer, Lezecher Nishmas Yukatil Yehuda Ben Shmuel Alav Shalom, and also by David Landerer. I have to read this. In honor of the Magid Shir, may he continue to be Marbit Stars of Klal Yisrael, and I join David in the bracha to Elisha that he should continue on that on that path. So we thank the sponsors very much for the sponsorship, and thank everybody for coming out to sponsor since I started making the announcement, but encourage more sponsors. That's very much appreciated. So we're holding on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Amud Beis, and we're in the middle of discussing the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. We got just past the two dots. The Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is that there is only one Gira Nasha, that there aren't, the Gira Nasha is only on one side of the animal, but the Gemara wasn't sure whether Rabbi Yehuda himself was certain which one is the Gira Nasha, or Rabbi Yehuda himself was maybe Masupak. And the Gemara is going to have three explanations of a brisa that talks about a certain part of the Korban Pesach that gets burnt on the 16th day of Nisan. And the reason we're going to have those three explanations is because that brisa is going to be one of the rayas about what Rabbi Yehuda holds. We're going to have other rayas as well about what Rabbi Yehuda holds, whether he's certain about which is the Gid or he's unsure. And along the way, we're going to discuss the inyan of Hasra Asafik, why it is that who holds Hasra Asafik is Lo Shema Hasra'a. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how we know from the description of the fight between Yaakov and the Sarah Shal Esav which Gira Nasha it is. How we know that Dafka, it's got to be the right side based on the description of the fight that Yaakov had with the Sarah Shal Esav. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over Talmud Beis, we're going to have five different sources for the idea that a Talmud Chacham doesn't go out at night. Because once we talk about the fight with Yaakov and the Sarah Shal Esav, so we're going to elaborate on that entire event. And one of the elements of that event is that a Talmud Chacham doesn't go out alone at night. And then we're also going to elaborate on the dream sequence that Yaakov has with the Malachim Olam V'Yardim and what happened for him to get there, and some details of the dream itself. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss different ways that Jewish people are on a higher madrega than Malachim, than even the angels themselves. So let's begin on Daf Tzadi Amud Beis. So we'll pick up from Tashema, right? The Gemara had raised the Shaila, what is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? We know Rabbi Yehuda holds there's only one Gid that's Aser, but is Rabbi Yehuda not sure which one it is, or is Rabbi Yehuda certain that it is the right one? So Tashema, Hatzamos HaGidim HaNoser Yisrafu L'Shisha Aser. That Hatzamos Gidim and Nosar are burnt on the 16th day of Nisan. I mean, we're talking about the Korban Pesach. What Gidim are we talking about exactly? Basar, if we're talking about Gidim that have the status of Basar that can be eaten, L'chlenu, why would you leave them over till the 16th of Nisan? You should eat them with the rest of the Korban Pesach. V'ida Yasar, Hainu Nosar. And if you just didn't eat them in time, and that's why they are, so they became Nosar, well then why would the Brisa formulate Hatzavos V'Hagidim V'Hanosar, as if Gidim and Nosar are two separate categories? If we're talking about Gidim that are edible, and they just you just left them over, so they became Nosar, so then it wouldn't be two separate categories. It shouldn't say V'Hanosar. Ella Gidei Tzavar. So it says Gemara, no, must be we're talking about the Gidim of the neck, Ilav Basar, which means that they're not edible Gidim. So it says Gemara, Ilav Basar, meaning, well, if that's not meat, Lishtinu, just throw it away. Meaning, why do you have to wait and burn it? The Gid we must be talking about is the Gira Noshe. And we're assuming, like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that Gira Noshe is only knowing on one side of the animal. So, if Rabbi Yehuda himself is unsure which Gid it is, then I understand very well that you can't do anything with it, so you leave it over until it's time to get rid of it. But if he knows which one is the problematic Gid, so then I don't understand. Why doesn't he just throw away the problematic one and eat the mutter one? Why is he burning on Shisha Asar some Gid? So it says there are three explanations of what is going on, why it is that there's a gid that is being burnt on Shisha Asar. Number one, Amravika Barchanina Liolame Melach Mifshat Pshitle. Rabbi Yehuda is certain which gid is the problematic one. Vahach b'mayaskinan kishohukru ulubesof nisarvu. The case over here was, he knew which gid was the problematic one. Let's say it's the gid on the right side, that's the problematic one. So both gidin were removed, and then they got mixed together, and now you can't identify which one is from the Yamin, which one is from the Small. So you have no choice but to leave them both until it's time to burn them, until it's time that they all become nosar. Second possibility of Ashiyamar lo nitzcha ela l'shamno. We're talking about the fat around the gid. The tanya shamno mutar Yisrael kadoshim nagbo iser. That even though the shuman is mutar, Yisrael kadoshim are no igiser. But on the daraisa level, it's mutar. So since on the daraisa level it's mutar, you can't just throw it away, so you have to wait until it becomes nosar, and then once it becomes nosar, you can't eat it either because you saw the dosh from Nagubah Misr, but once it becomes nosar, then they burn it together with the rest of the nosar. The shita of the Rambam is that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that a giranasha is mutar bahana'a. Tosos holds that Giranasha is Asubana. So the Uraim also suggests that Giranasha is Asubana, but the Uraim discusses that Lefiat said that it's Asubana. What about the Shuman? Is the Shuman also Asubana? You mean we're saying Yisrael Kadoshim, Nagubam Isser, and the Shuman Agid. Okay, but is Nagubam Isser just Achila, or Isra Hana'a as well? So the Shari Tshuva writes in Shari Gimelos Pedalid that Giranasha is Asubana, and the Shuman Shalgid is also Asubana. But the Yamshul Shomer writes that the Shomer is Mutar Ba'ana even if the Gid is Asar Ba'ana. So there's a big discussion. There's also a big discussion in the Rishonim whether the Shomer shall Gid is, if it's in a special Bekadeira, will Asar Ad Shishim. Do you need Shishim to Mimvatel Shamno shall Gid? That the Shita of Rabbeinu Meir is that it's not more Chomer than the Gid, which were not Asar, but Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam disagree. And they say that even though the Gid will not Asar, that's only because in Botam, but the Shomen has Tam. You know, the Gid doesn't ask because in Begidim no Saint Tam. So it's not going to be no Saint Tam into the Shishim around it. But the Shomen shall Gid has Tam, and therefore it will be no Saint Tam. So the Rambam, from the Rambam, Hilchos Korban Pesach, it seems pretty clear in the 10th paragraph of Hilchos Korban Pesach that when they roast the Korban Pesach, they roast it whole with the Gid Anasha. But after the Tzliya, they cut out the Gid Anasha. So the Ravid says, I don't understand. How could they roast the Korban Pesach with the Gid Anasha and the Shomen? I mean, we just said the Shita Sarambam is that the Shomen Shel Gid is going to Asur Ad Shishim, that it's no Saint Tam. So I understand you're going to roast the entire Korban Pesach with the Gid because the Gid is not going to be no Saint Tam into other parts of the meat, and therefore the other parts of the meat are going to be Asur, are going to be Mutter as long as you remove the Gid. But what about the Shomen Shel Gid? The Shomen Shel Gid, the Rambam holds, Asur Ad Shishim. So by roasting the Korban Pesach with the Shomen Shel Gid, says the Ravid, you have a problem because it's going to Asur, it should Asur the carbon Pesach. That's the kasha that the Ravid has. So the Kesef Mishra suggests that since Ein Begidim No Saint Tam, so the Gid is not a problem because it's not going to Asur the carbon Pesach. Even though the Tam of the Shomen will Asur, says the Kesef Mishnah, but the Shomen is the Shomen is only a Minuk Shenag Yisrael, and the Minuk was never by Korban Pesach. So the Lashon is critical. The Yisrael Kadoshim Nahagu Bo Isur. So Heichad Nahagu Nahagu, Heichad Lo Nahagu Lo Nahagu. Since by Korban Pesach the requirement is to roast the entire thing whole, so obviously they were never knowing such an Isur by Korban Pesach. And then the Gemara says a third explanation of what it is, what Gid this is that we're burning on the 16th. Of Nisan. Ravina Amar Lo Nitzcha El Chid Ravida Amar Shmuel. Dam Ravida Amar Shmuel Shnei Gidin Hein Pnimi Samach La Etzem Aser V'Chayav Nalav Chitzon Samach La Basar Aser V'Ein Chayav Nalav. That there is a second Gid that Samach La Basar, which is not the Gid Anasha, but it's and therefore you're not Chayav on it, but it's still Aser Midrabanan. So again, you can't eat it, but you got to leave it. But you can't just throw it out either because it's not the real Gid. So you have to leave it over and then you burn it, and that's what we must be talking about as far as the Gidin are concerned. So bottom line is we don't have a raya from this Braisa that talks about discarding it, that talks about burning the Gid on the 16th of Nisan, what the Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is. So says Mar Tashma, let's bring another Raya. Achal mizek hazayis umizek hazayis. Let's say you eat a kazayis from each Gid, from the Gid on the right side and the Gid on the left side. Rashi points out, umidinakat achal mizek hazayis umizek hazayis lo nakat achal beiz zesim mishneyem shram reshech shesros havu. That we see that it must be that these are two separate achilus, you get two separate Hasra, because if it was just talking about they eat a kazayis from each gid, but it was only one hasra, then it should have just said that you ate bezesim from the bez gidim. But it doesn't say that. It says mizek kazayis, which really separates them out as two totally separate acts with totally separate hasraos. So it says the brisa sofik shmonim. You get 80 malkios, one for each gid that you ate. But Rabbi Yehuda omer inu sofik el arba'in, you only get 40 malkios. So how's this araya? We know Rabbi Yehuda holds there's only one gid, but how's this araya, the fact that you only get one malchus, that whether Rabbi Yehuda knew for sure which gid it was, because yam bishlam mifshat pshita leishapir, if he knew which gid it was, so we understand very well that the hasra that you got right before eating the gid that is in fact the gid anasha, that is also mishum gid anasha, is going to earn you a malchus, and the other hasra is meaningless because it's a totally mutzer gid. Eli yam tzvukim misafkli, but if Rabbi Yehuda himself is masupak, which gid is the correct gid? Havile Hasra Safik, neither Hasra is a valid Hasra, because each time they said to you, don't eat this, and if you do, you're going to be Chayiv Malkus, and the truth is, you may not be Chayiv Malkus, even if you do. So it's Hasra Safik. The Shamina that Rabbi Yehuda Damar Hasra Safik, Loshma Hasra. And we know that Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that Hasra Safik is not considered to be a genuine Hasra. Titania, Hika Zeh, V'chazav Hika Zeh. Let's say you have a person who's unsure who his father is, so he hits one of these people, meaning how is he unsure? Rashi writes, Safik ben Tes Lazeh, the Safik ben Zayin Lazeh. His mother got remarried too early. Normally there's 3 months of Havchana. You're not allowed to get remarried. Woman's not allowed to get remarried until 3 months have passed since she's been with the first husband. But this woman jumped the gun, got remarried early, and now we don't know the child. Is he a result of a 9-month pregnancy from the earlier husband or a 7-month pregnancy from the more recent husband? The Gemara always assumes that those are both viable and fairly common pregnancies. Somehow nowadays we're only left with the 9-month pregnancy, but that's what the Gemara assumes. In fact, the Gemara even goes so far as to say that Yoledes Letisha is Eina Yoledes L'Mukutayin, Yoledes L'Shiva is Yoledes L'Mukutayin. That if one is going down the track of the 7-month pregnancy, it could even be in the 7th month. It doesn't have to be a full 7 months. But counterintuitively, a 9-month pregnancy, it has to be the full 9 months, otherwise the baby's going to be a Nafel, the baby's not going to make it. That's always the Gemara's assumption. So the person doesn't know if he's a result of a 9-month pregnancy from the first husband or a 7-month pregnancy from the second husband, and he's maka one of these guys who might be his father, and then he's maka the other guy who might be his father. Kila lezeh v'chazav kila lezeh. He curses one guy who might be his father, and then he curses the other guy who might be his father. So he kashneim basachas or shekil shem basachas, or he curses them both at the same time, or he hits them both at the same time. So chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bebasachas chayiv bezeh achar zeh pater. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only if it's bebasachas he's going to be chayiv, but if it's bezeh achar zeh, if it's one after the other, then he's going to be pater. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that hasra safik is loshma hasra, that if it's bezeh achar zeh, even because you don't know which one is really the father, each hasra was an invalid hasra. Don't hit this guy. If you hit this guy, you're going to be chayiv. We don't know that for sure. He might not be my father. Then the next one, don't hit this guy, because if you do, you're going to be chayiv. You don't know that for sure. So each hasra is an invalid hasra. So even though mimela, he got the one that is his father, you know, with a hasra, but the hasra doesn't count, and therefore he's not going to be chayiv. So says Gemara, haytana savala ki idach tana Rabbi Yehuda, tamar hasra safek shma hasra. The tana must be assuming, meaning we're asking the question, why do you even get 40 malkios according to Rabbi Yehuda? You should get 0 malkios because it's hasra safek. So says Gemara, no, we're assuming like the other tana that quotes Rabbi Yehuda, who says that hasra safek is a valid Asra. Where is Rabbi Yehuda recorded to say that Asra Safik is a valid Asra? Says the Gemara, Tanya, Lo Sosiru Mimenu Ad Boker. There's an Isra in the Torah of Nosar. Ba Kosov Litin Asay Achar lo sasei, lo marshein lo krelov div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, you know why you don't get malchus for nosar? Because it's a lava nitik lasei. The Torah tells you what to do if you leave nosar over. If you end up with the situation of no, sir. The Torah says that then you have a mitzvah to burn it. So by doing that, by giving us a mitzvah to burn it, the Torah is removing the possibility of malchus from no, sir. But what do you see? That's the only reason you don't get malchus for no, sir. What about the fact that it's hasra safek? They're going to say, you better eat that right now, because if you don't, you're going to get malchus. No, I could eat it in 5 minutes from now, and I won't get malchus even if I don't eat it right now. I'll eat it in 5 minutes, in 10 minutes. So by definition, it's hasra safek. And yet Rabbi Yehuda says the only reason you don't get malchus is because lav nita klasei. Rabbi Yaakov agrees that it's not because of Asra Safek, but he thinks it's another reason that you don't get malchus. Lomen Hashem Uzel, Mishum Davli Lav Shem B'maisa. V'kol Lav Shem B'maisa in Lokun Lav. Anytime you have Lav Shem B'maisa, you're not going to get malchus. And no, sir, is the very definition of Lav Shem B'maisa. You do nothing and you just leave it there, and then it becomes no, sir, on its own. So Tashma says, we will try a third raya to prove whether Rabbi Yehuda was certain or was uncertain which gid is the problematic one. Achal beis gidin mi beis yirechos mi beis behemos sofek pei. That if a person eats two gidin from two different animals, two yirechos, he's going to be chayiv 80 malkios. Rabbi Yudomer enos sofek al arbaim, he's only chayiv 40 malkios. Mi dekamer beis yirechos mi beis behemos pshita de travay li yisura l'rabi yudah istrich. So clearly, from the fact that it says two behemos, two yirechos, so it must be that that's the only way we can come up with a case where you're eating two gidim that are both aser. And we need to formulate it in that way, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So shmamina mifshat pshitalei, that it must be that that it's pashat Rabbi Yehuda, which one it is, and that's why you're going to get malchus for eating the problematic gid from two separate animals. So shmamina. So it says, wait a second, but if he's certain which one it is, v'yipshitle ha'maisofik mem, I understand why you can get malchus, but you're getting the wrong number. You should get 80 malchios. If you're eating two gidim from two separate animals, two separate asraos, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and you're eating the problematic one from each animal, so ha'maisofik mem v'sulo, why would you get only 40 and not more? Lilki pei, you should get 80 malchios. So says Mar Hafamayaskinan, Gon Lespa Kazayas. There's another halach in play over here, and that is that the case is you didn't eat a kazayas from each one. Only Betziruf Shnehem did you eat a kazayas. The Tanya Achlevein Bo Kazayas, Chayiv Rabbi Domer Achiyehe Bo Kazayas. That the Tanakama holds that if you eat a full Giranashe, even if it's smaller than a kazayas, you're Chayiv, because it has the status of a beria, so you're going to be Chayiv for eating a full Giranashe. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds you're only going to be Chayiv if you eat a full kazayas of Giranashe, that there's no din of beria when it comes to Giranashe. But in Achinami, if each Giranashe was larger than a kazayas, and you ate two of them from two separate animals, of course Rabbi Yehuda would say that you'd be chayiv shmona malchios. V'taymamai, says Gemara, why is it that it's pashut Rabbi Yehuda, that it's the right gid, meaning now that we've brought three rayas, and the first two did not work out, but the third raya did work out, that Rabbi Yehuda's mifshat pshitalei, he knows which gid anasha is aser, and it's got to be the one on the right side. Where did he get that idea that it's the one on the right side? Says Gemara, a number of possibilities. Amar Rava, Amar Kra, Ha Yerech, which means Hamiyumena Shabiyerech. With the Hey idea, it's the right hand one. V'Rabbanan Haud the Pashat Yisurei B'Kuli Yerech LaFuke Chitzon Talo. And the Rabbanan would say, no, it's just identifying which of the two gidim. Remember, we discussed before. There's a Gidah Pnimi and a Gidah Chitzon. I don't know which one is the Gidah Nasha. Ha Yerech tells me the one that's Pashat Yisuro B'Kola Yerech. So that's got to be the Pnimi that has roots that go out, tentacles that go out into the entire Yerech, as opposed to the chitzon, which is pretty straightforward and doesn't go throughout the entire yerech, and that's how I know that it's the panimi. But it does not tell me that it's the right hand one. Says the rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar Kra behe of ko imo. Now, how do we know it's the right-hand one? Just simply looking at how this all happened. It was a fight between Yaakov and Sarah Shalesov, and when two people are wrestling, they're sort of like hugging each other. So the Malach presumably hits him with his right hand, but his right faces Yaakov's left, but he's reaching around his body, so he hits Yaakov's right gid. So that's how we know that it is that it's the right-hand gid. Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni Amar Ka'ovik Chavim Nidmelo. Rosh Hashanah Nachmeni says that the Malach appeared to him like an Ovid Chavim. Yaakov thought that he was an Ovid Chavim, and therefore Yaakov made sure that the Malach was to his right. When the Yisrael comes across David Chavim on the road, he should always make sure that he stands in a position where he's going to be ready to defend himself. So with your right hand, you're going to be able to defend yourself stronger, and you know that this is the pachad a person has to have of an Ovid Chavim who could attack at any time. Rachman al Tzlan, you see these random anti-Semitic attacks where people just go and attack the Jew. So a person has to be cautious of this and be able to defend himself. So Yaakov was doing exactly that. So that's how we know that he must have gotten him in the right hand gid, because Yaakov made sure that the Ovid Chavim was to his right, like the halacha says you're supposed to. And a fourth possibility of Shmuel bar Acha kamed Rav Pav Meshmed Rav bar Ulamar Ketamul Chacham nid below, that no, the Malach appeared like a Tamul Chacham, and the thing about a Tamul Chacham is that you also make sure the Tamul Chacham is to your right and that you are to his left. If you stand to the right of your Rebbe, it's a boor. It's not proper derech eretz. But a person who understands proper derech eretz, proper protocol, knows that the Talmud Chacham should be to his right. He should be to the left of the Talmud Chacham. So Yaakov saw this angel and he thought he was the Talmud Chacham, and that's why Yaakov had him off to the right. So those are the different possibilities of how we know that the Malach got Yaakov on the right side. Rabbanon me'achore asa v'nashi v'travayu. The Rabbanon would respond, no, none of that is a raya that he got him on the right side. The Malach attacked him from the back and he hit him on both gidin. Rabbanon hai be'havko v'mo my darshi ve. So what do they make a drasha? What drasha do they make from be'havko v'mo? Why does he have to tell me that they were wrestling, if not to tell me that he must have reached around his body and hit him on the right side? According to the Rabbanon, he got him on both sides. So why would the Torah say be'havko v'mo? Teaches us the other thing of Rabbi Shimon Levi. Dom Rabbi Shimon Levi milamev shehelu avak margalosam ad kisei hakavod. That the dust from their feet, as they were struggling with each other, went all the way up to the kisei hakavod. Ksiv hacha be'havko v'mo uksiv hasam. And when it describes when the navi describes va'anan avak raglav, that there's a cloud of dust of his feet. From Rabbi Shimon Levi, lama nikra shmo gid anasha. Rabbi Shimon Levi also tells us, once we're quoting Rabbi Shimon Levi on the topic of gid anasha, he also tells us why is it called gid anasha? Shenasha mi makomo. Va'ola, that it jumped out of its place and went up. V'cheinu omer nishtu gvurasam hayu l'nashim. We find that nasha means that nishtu gvurasam, that what happened to their gvura? Well, hayu l'nashim, they became weak like women. So nishtu gvurasam must mean it was lifted, it moved away, it went away. Amar Rav Yosef v'cheinu ma'idich siv. What does the pasuk mean when it says davar shalach b'Yakov v'nafal b'Yisrael? So, Davar Shalach B'Yakov Zeh Gid Anasha. That's a reference to the Gid Anasha. V'nafal B'Yisrael Shepasha D'Yisuro B'Kal Yisrael. That the Isser is spread throughout the entire Jewish people. V'amar B'Yosef B'Chanina Ma'idich Siv U'Tvach Tavach V'Achein. What does the Pasuk teach us when it tells us that Yosef had a meal prepared for his brothers when they came and they did not yet know his identity? So, Paralahen Beis Hashchita. That it tells us that he demonstrated for them that the Beis Hashchita, the area of the animal that needed to be shechted, was shechted properly. V'achein told Gid Anasha b'fneim. Yosef is instructing his members of his household, here's how you got to prepare the meal. Not only just prepare it and serve it on a plate, make sure you show them the Beis HaShechita and make sure they see you removing the Gid Anasha. Command Yomar, Gid Anasha nesel b'nei Noach. And this is assuming like the Shechita, that Gid Anasha is nesel b'nei Noach. They had the status of b'nei Noach at that time, and therefore you have to make sure that he removes the Gid Anasha in front of them. Tosas asks the question, Vim Tomer, Dilma lo nesra, filu achay, mekaimen kama shechita, tekamer lei paralem beis ha-shechita. No one holds that you need shechita for b'nei Noach, and yet Yosef insisted that they do shechita. How do you know that the fact that he had him remove the Gid Anasha in front of the brothers shows that Gid Anasha is nesel b'nei Noach? Maybe it's something that they volunteered, just like they volunteered hilchus shechita. The lashon v'achein implies that they couldn't possibly eat it without this. So he showed them the beis hashchita, nice thing to do. They took on themselves this extra chumrah that they do shechita. So a wonderful, nice thing to do. But v'achein implies that there's no way they could eat it without that step, and that is the removal of the gid. Inami parlu beis hashchita hain lechirah shen stavu ala lechirah. Or maybe parlam beis hashchita doesn't mean that they had to actually do a shechita. They just have to see that it was killed at the neck of the animal. So you just have to show them that Bnei Noach at least require a nechira, even if they don't require a shechita. They certainly can't have Eiver Menachai. Maybe maybe that's part of the issue when it comes to B'nai Noach. There is a discussion. This Gemara is very clear that Yosef told them to be parei the beis hashchita and to remove the gilan nashah. So Rashi says that the reason to be parei the beis hashchita is that they shouldn't say that basar neveluhu, because Bnei Yaakov were shomer mitzvos even though they were not yet mitzvah, because that was the Kabbalah that they had me'avoseim. And v'achein is to remove the gilan nashah, because gilan nashah is nesel Bnei Noach. Ask the crazy placey in Simon Bay, Sifkat and Aleph, what does it help to be parei the beis hashchita? They still didn't know that Yosef and his family were Jewish, and Shechitas Nachri is in the Vela. So you're going to show them that it's one thing that you remove the gid in front of them. Okay, as long as the gid isn't there, we can eat it. But how are you going to show them a kashrut Shechita if in their minds everyone here is a guy, and a guy does Shechita, it's an invalid Shechita, the basar is in the Vela. How does that solve the problem? So it says, great, place there's a raya to the Shechita Sarambam. Because the Rambam writes in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Shechita, Nachri Sheshachat, if a non-Jew does a Shechita, af al pi Sheshachat b'fnei Yisrael, b'sakin Yafeh, even though he does it properly, he's using a proper knife in front of a Jewish person, you see he's doing everything right. Even if he's a katan, so you don't even think he's necessarily having machshavas lavo dezara. His shchita is nevela, and you get malchus min haTorah for eating it. If the Torah is warning me, you better be careful not to eat from a zevach, it must be that the zevach is aser. You shouldn't come to want to eat from a zevach, it must be eating from a zevach is aser. And it's not similar to a case of a Yisrael who doesn't know Hilchos Shechita, where if someone is omed al gabav, then it's okay. But then the Rambam says, V'geder gadol gadru b'davar sha'afilu goy she'ein ovir avodazara shechitas nevela. The Chachamim added an additional geder aside from the Yisra min haTorah, that even a guy who's not an ovir avodazara, the shechita is going to be also, the shechita is going to be nevela. So says the Shach, you see from the Rambam that the shechita of every Nachri is a puzzle. But the Pashup Shad in the Rambam is that shechita of an ovir avodazara is puzzle min haTorah. Shechita of someone who's not an ovir avodazara is not possible in the Torah. So based on this, says the crazy place, we don't have a kasha from our sugya. The Bnei Yosef knew that they were not of the Avodah Zarah. The brothers of Yosef, the Achei Yosef, knew that they were not of the Avodah Zarah in the Beis Yosef, and therefore the Shechit is kasha min haTorah. It doesn't say they were observing all the Din Rabbanan, but at least the Din Daraisa they were observing. What about the Shechitas HaRash? The Shechitas HaRash in the first paragraph of Chulin is that every Shechitas Nachri is in the Veilim in haTorah, even if he's not an Ovid Avodah Zarah, because he's simply not a Bar Zvicha. So crazy place writes that you have to say that they were not makbid on Hilchos Shechita, and when he showed them Beis HaShechita, it was only to show them that there was a Nechira that was done with it. And that's exactly what Tosfos said, the Tosfos that we just read, that the Rashba sold like Tosfos, that they weren't makbid on Hilchos Shechita, because if they were makbid on Hilchos Shechita, they never would have eaten the Shechita of a guy. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Yaakov remained alone, four lines on the bottom of the page. Amar Blasa Shinishtayer al Pachim Ketanim, that he went back to retrieve Pachim Ketanim. Mikan, the Tzadikim Shechaviv Aleim Mamonam Yosem Migufam. You see from here that Tzadikim, their money is more beloved than their physical health, because Yaakov risked his physical health in order to get his money back. The Kol Kach Lama, why? Why are they so chaviv? Why is the money so chaviv to them? Lefishin Poshin Dein Begezel. Because a person has a certain connection to that which is earned honestly. And it's totally honestly earned money when it's the money of Tzadikim. So that's why Yaakov went back for the money. Now the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, Parak Vav, that it's asr to cut Iloni Ma'achal, and it's asr limno that when it comes to the Yisra of Baltashkas, not only is it also to cut down a tree, you're not even allowed to prevent water from reaching a tree. That's also part of the Yisra of Baltashkas. But Chaznish writes in the Rambam that the Rambam means that you're not allowed to do an act to actively divert the water from the tree to cause it to dry up and die. But if it's a tree that needs to be watered and you just don't water it, b'shevi alta, so you just don't do anything, So then that is not a violation of Baal Tashchis, because he says the Isra of Baal Tashchis is not only on the Bailam of the tree, the Isra of Baal Tashchis is on the entire world, it's on everybody. So the Bailam of the tree is no different din in Baal Tashchis than anybody else. Well, nobody else is watering the tree, so the Bailam doesn't have to water the tree either. And therefore, says the Chazanish, you see that if you do B'Shevi Altase, then it's not a violation of Baal Tashchis. So the Chazanish says, so even though there's no Isra of Baal Tashchis, but it's still not a good thing to do. Why? Because of our Gemara. Chavivim tzadikim or chavivim alei mamonim yosem migufim. That a person is expected to go out of their way to protect their assets, that's considered an appropriate thing to do if a person has honestly earned money. And that's the derech of tzadikim, to be very careful about ibud mamon, to be very careful about wasting money, to be somewhat frugal. That's the derech of the tzadikim. Okay. Vayavi kishimo ad alos ha-shachar. So they had this wrestling match until alos ha-shachar. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, mikan ha-talmud chacham she-yetzi yechid b'layla. From here you see that a talmud chacham should not go out alone at night. The Tosfos points out, shouldn't nobody go out at night? Why dafka talmud chacham? Omer Rabbeinu Tam, to dafka nacha talmud chacham, shum demazikim niskanim behem. The mazikim attack talmid chacham much more vigorously than they do so regular people. Kedarminan, gimel tzrichun shimur, melech v'talmud chacham v'chasan. That there are three that require shmira. A melech requires shmira, a talmud chacham requires shmira, and a chasan. So what do you see from here? When we say that a chasan requires shomer, it's the way a talmud chacham requires a shomer. What does that mean? That he shouldn't go out alone. A lot of people think that a chassan needs like an annoying friend to be with him every second of the day. No, he's allowed it. He can go to the bathroom alone. He can sit and learn a little bit alone. He can do other things alone. He shouldn't go out alone. When I got married, I asked Rav Shechter about this, about the shomer, and he said, yeah, really the day of your wedding, it's not even that important. It's after your wedding. The week after your wedding, you shouldn't go out of your house alone. No, I didn't ask him about shomer. I asked him about going to Minyan, because the Mishmura quotes that you can be Moneh the Tzibur from saying Tachlin, so maybe you shouldn't daven B'Tzibur on the week of the Shavuot Brachos, because why should you cost the Tzibur a Tachlin? My experience is no one minds. They're Mocha, they're okay with it. But he said it's not such a problem to be Moneh the Tzibur saying Tachlin. He quoted the Shittas HaGaon, and the Tachlin is only Rishos anyway, so it's not the end of the world to stop them from saying Tachlin. But he said you can't go alone to Shul, because it's Al Yetzi Yechidi, meaning the entire week you're definitely a Chassan, and a Chassan doesn't go out alone, right? That's this. The same way a Melech doesn't go out alone, a Talmud Chacham doesn't go out alone, a Chassan doesn't go out alone. But what about, says Tosfos, the Gemara says at the very beginning of Masechet Pesachim, Lo Olam Yikanes Adam B'Chitov, over there it doesn't say Talmud Chacham, Yikanes Adam, that a person, anybody, should go Dafka in the light, the Mashma Kal Adam. Why Dafka when it's light outside? Because we're afraid of Mazikin. Everybody's afraid of Mazikin. So it must be that it's not just the Mazikin that we're afraid of over there, there's another factor, that we're talking about someone who's traveling a great distance, he's not familiar with the roads, and we're afraid he's going to keep hitting puddles, he's going to be attacked, he's going to go into bad neighborhoods. That's what we're afraid by Kol Adam. But when it comes to Mazikin, we're only concerned about the Talmud Chacham. That's why our Gemara says, Mikan the Talmud Chacham, Shlo Yetze Yechidi Balayla. Abba Bar Kahana Amar Mehacha. Abba Bar Kahana says that we learn this din of a Talmud Chacham not going Yechidi from the following. Hinei hu zoreh es goren hasa'orim. That this is pasuk by Rus and by Boaz that we learned that Naomi told Rus to go to Boaz to the Goren after he finishes to be Zora the Saorim, because he's definitely not going to go back home to go to sleep that night, because it's a gnai for a Talmud Chacham to go out alone at night, and therefore you know that he's going to go to sleep in the Goren. So that's how she knew what his practice would be. Rabbi Yavoa Mehacha. Then now we learn from the parsha of the Akedah, Vayashkev Avram Baboker Vayachavosh Eschemoro, from the fact that he woke up in the morning to travel. Why didn't he get up even earlier to go out at night? The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a mitzvah to do. He should get up even during the nighttime. No, because Talmud Chacham doesn't go out alone at night. So he had to wake up. He shouldn't go out at night. Now over there, he wasn't Yechidi, so it's hard to say the word alone, right? But that Talmud Chacham doesn't go out at night. Meaning Yitzchak was with him, Shnei Na'arav were with him. So it sounds like even when there are people that are Malavim, he shouldn't go out alone at night. He shouldn't go out at night. So says Rashi, and that's the Limud. And Kal V'chomer if he's Yechidi, Kal V'chomer if he's all alone. Tosfos disagrees with that, because he says, what do you mean? He's not going out alone. The whole Limud that we're trying to make is about not going out alone. And furthermore, Tosfos says, even if he was Yachid, he shouldn't have been worried about the Mazikin, because Shluchim Mitzvah, Einu Nizakin. He was going to do a very great mitzvah. So Tos says the Gemara does not mean the pasuk of Vayashkem Avram by the Akedah. The pasuk is Vayashkem Avram by turning over of Sodom. Over there, he was taka alone, and it wasn't necessarily a dvar mitzvah, so he was just going to try to protect the people of Sodom. So that, he could have gone out earlier at night to daven for the Anshei Sodom, and nevertheless he didn't. That's the pasuk that we must be quoting. Rabban Amir Me'ach, the Rabban say, we learn it from what Yaakov told Yosef. And he said to him, come back to me and report back to me. So he sent him to see Eshlom Achicha. Why to see? It has to be dafka when it's light outside, when you can see. But if it's dark, then you're not allowed to travel. So don't go when it's dark. Rav Amar Mehacha, that we learn from the following, that after that night where Yaakov had the battle with the Malach, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. So I'm Rabbi Akiva, Sha'alti from Gamliel, Rabbi Shua, Be'itlis Shel Imam. I saw Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shua in the meat market of Imam, Shahol Chulikach Pe'im and Mishmeral Shel Gamliel. The context was, it was Rabbi Gamliel's son's wedding that night and they were buying meat for it. Ksiv, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh. So I asked him a question learning when I saw him. I said, it says, Vayizrach lo Hashemesh, but Chishemesh lo Levad Zarcha, Vala Lekal Olam Zarcha. What do you mean? The sun only shone for Yaakov? That what didn't shine for everybody. The same sun that had set early for him now shone early for him. Yaakov went to Charan, and meaning it sounds like he already arrived at Charan. And it says that he arrived at Beit El afterwards. Well, how did that happen? Beit El is on the way to Charan. So when he got to Charan, Omar, he said, "Oy Veng, what did I do? I walked right past Beis El and I didn't daven where my forefathers daven." So he decided he's going to go back. He had kvitzas haderech miyad vayivka b'makom, and he got to Beit El right away and he davened. Katzali by the meder. After he davened, he wanted to go back to Charan. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, tzaddik zeh ba lebeis meloni v'yiftar below lina. The tzaddik like this is going to come to my house and I'm going to let him go without sleeping over the night. Miyad ba Hashem. So Hashem made the sun set early so that Yaakov couldn't go anywhere. So why does he have to give a reason that he stayed there? Kiva Hashemesh. It must be that it was shaka avuro Hashemesh. So it was dafka for him that it happened early. So you see from here that Talmud Chacham doesn't go out yichidi b'layla, because otherwise, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu keep him just by making it dark? So Elamai, once it was dark, he couldn't go. Ksiv, now in that story by Yaakov, when he went to sleep, it says, Vayikach me'avnei amakum, he took me'avnei amakum, ksiv, Vayikach es ha'even. Amar v'yitzchak melamid, sh'niskabtzu kol osin avanam amakum echad, v'kalachas v'achas omeres, alaya niyach tzadik zarosho. Tana v'kula nivlu ba'achas, that all the stones came together because each one wanted the tzaddik to rest their head on him. Asks the Eliyahu Rabbah, but still his head did not cover the entire stone, it was only a part of the stone, so shouldn't that cause kinah among the single stone, that only the part that his head was on? So I would have said, you know, tossing and turning, he probably hits the entire pillow over the course of the night. But no, says the Eliyahu Rabbah, you see from there that once something is a single unit, then which part of it is used is not different than any other part. And he brings a riot to there against the sheet of the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tefillin. Because Magen Avraham writes that if you ever undo your retzuos and retie them, you have to make sure you keep them in the same, the top stays on the top and the bottom stays on the bottom. The part that went to make the letter, the dalit in the back of your head, or the yud on your arm, the part that goes to make the letter should not be a dangling part of the retzuos and some other and switched out for another part, because it has greater kedusha, says Magen Avraham. So you can't flip one for the other. Says the Eli Rabbi, sure you can, because it's all a single unit, it's all a retzuah, and different parts of a single unit that are used for different things. And that's okay, obviously, Tara Shel Talis. Do we have to be makbid to keep the top of the talis on the top and the bottom of the talis on the bottom? Because we assume that there may be greater kedusha on the top. So the Eliyahu Rabbah doesn't buy the whole thing based on this Gemara. He says once something is a single unit, so then you don't have to be makbid about this. I have a piece about this in my first sefer. Ve'achlam b'nei sulam utzavarta. So he had a dream and there was a sulam on the ground. So Tana kama rachma shel sulam. How wide was the sulam? Shmonas alpayim parsos. T'ksiv v'nei malach elokim olim v'yordim bo. It was 8,000 parsos, because there had to be room for Malachi Elokim, which means at least two Olim and two Yordim. Olim Shaim V'Yordim Shaim. V'chipag v'adei adadi avlu arba. When they passed each other, they had to be able to have room for four wide. Uksim be v'malach u'gviyaso k'tarshish. And the size of a Malach is like Tarshish. U'gmiri de Tarshish treyafli parsi avlu. Tarshish is 2,000 parsos, so the four of them is 8,000 parsos. Tana Olim mistakim v'diukno shalmala v'yorim mistakim v'diukno shalmata. They went up and they saw the image of of Yaakov on the Merkava, and the human image on the Merkava is Yaakov, and they went down and they saw that it was Yaakov. So they got very jealous and they wanted to attack him. Miyad v'nei Hashem nitzav alav. So right away Hashem stood over him to protect him. Amr b'shem l'lakshon mali mikra kosov iyav shala amro. Ka'adam shemei nifal b'no. It's like a person who's waving over his son to protect his son from the heat. That he's that the malachim were going to attack Yaakov, not directly attack, but look at him in such a way where the heat of their eyes was going to consume him, and Kadosh Baruch Hu was waving over him to protect Yaakov. Haaretz asher ata shochev aleha, and Yaakov is told that the land that you are on, you're going to get, your children are going to get, it's going to be a Yerusha for your children. My Rabu say, what was so special about that particular land, those Dalet Amos that he was on? All of Eretz Yisrael is Yerusha to the children of Yaakov. Rabbi Yitzchak Melamed Shekipla Kodesh Baruch Hu L'chol Eretz Yisrael V'nicha Tachas Yaakov Avinu. No, Hashem folded over the entire Eretz Yisrael and put it all under Yaakov Avinu. Shetei Nochel Likavish Levanav, as a way of making it easier, like Karka that's Dalet Amos, which is easy to conquer. So this was a symbol that it was going to be easy for his children to be able to conquer Eretz Yisrael ultimately. Okay, Beis Hashem, will pick up with Kiyala HaShachar tomorrow.